Think Red Ink presents The Questions of Jesus. Profound meditations with author and host Don C. Harris. What did Jesus ask?
Question 21. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good? Luke 6:9. Then Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it? When a person decides to keep God's Sabbath day, seemingly out of the woodwork, comes everyone to offer opinion, criticize, scrutinize, or in some cases open their denomination to you for membership. If the subject of Sabbath comes up in discussions, one is apt to hear stories about how it's impossible to keep the Sabbath day and how Jesus changed all that Sabbath-keeping stuff. It's not a subject for the unprepared, as the passions are deep and various. Some have chosen to avoid the subject altogether. I can't blame them. It's unfortunate that such a pleasant thing as Jehovah's ordained rest should be so tiresome. It's equally unfortunate that God's gift of the Sabbath day should become a matter of debate and division. But so it is when men confuse and convolute the simplicity that is to be found in Christ. Let's begin with the apostle's words in 1 John 5:2-3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. How sad that the commandments of God are grievous to many who claim to be Christ's. To some, giving God one day of their seven is as though they're being asked to give up something to which they're entitled, something they own, or something that is owed them. How can those who seek communion with Christ neglect the time that he set aside for that communion? How can we consider it a grievous task to come aside and rest a while? It's because man has added to the commandment and made it into a chore of duty and drudgery. He has done this outside of the Scriptures, yet we still consider man's words over the Scriptures of truth. The Jews created documents that, with the intention of keeping the commandments, made them more difficult to keep. The Sabbath day's journey is a good example. The Sabbath day's journey was intended to place an explanatory or definitive framework around Scripture. The law they refer to only says, See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Exodus 16:29. Somehow, Jewish leadership decided how far it should be that a man can wander from his place without breaking the commandment. They came up with 2,000 paces or yards. How they arrived at this distance is unclear. Nevertheless, we find that many think to travel farther than a Sabbath day's journey on the Sabbath is a violation of the commandment, and therefore sin. But the Scriptures make no such assertion. When we read the Scriptures pertaining to Sabbath, we find that the Sabbath is not a grievous restriction, nor a calculated observance, but a day set aside, sanctified, and made holy by voluntary ceasing from our labor and honoring God's request to remember Him. When you read for yourself the Scriptures that pertain to Sabbath, you'll find that the commandment is not a grievous one, nor one that requires more than you can do, but a commandment of love and promise. It's a commandment that bears a gift from God. In the days of old, the Bible records an execution associated with the breaking of this law. A man was found gathering sticks on the Sabbath, and for that, he lost his life. Without understanding, we may find it hard to take comfort in a gift that we're forced to receive. But it was not the lack of acceptance of this gift that caused his death. It was his despite of God's commandment. The gift is not the commandment. and the commandment is not the gift. The gift is to be found in obedience to the commandment. When we place our own interest above the commandment, are we not placing ourselves above our Lord? As says the Lord Jesus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." The operational phrase is, "Happy are ye if ye do them." The happiness, blessedness, and the gift is to be found in the doing. When we submit to God's law, we'll find, in our obedience, that the law is not grievous. When we go only to the Scriptures, we'll find that the commandments are not difficult either. The Jews of Jesus' day, and the naysayers in our day, made the walk of faith into difficulty and impossibility. "We can't do this on the Sabbath day, and we can't do that," say they, while the blessed Scriptures may be completely silent on that particular subject. We need to take our cues from the words God has spoken in our heart and our conscience and forget the traditions of men. We make living by our faith impossible when we add or take away from what God has plainly said. When you ignore the Word of God within you, your conscience and guide, and hold to traditions of men, you make, quote, "the word of God of none effect through your tradition," unquote, Mark 7:13. When you ignore the commandment and hold to your tradition, you bring to life the word of warning Jesus gave to the Pharisees, "Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." Jesus was astounded that these well-learned men, these scribes and Pharisees, could not see the clear intent of the Sabbath day. These men, along with everyone in their tow, had ceased to worship on the Sabbath and had begun to worship the Sabbath itself. They were accusing him of violating and desecrating their God Sabbath by healing a blind man. There are those who struggle with Sabbath worship today. Mankind always seems to teeter and totter back and forth across lines and boundaries, words and laws, definitions and excuses. He never seems to get it right. He never seems to be able to balance himself. Should we go for a walk? Should we make a sandwich? Should we feed the homeless on Sabbath? Should we use electricity, city water, or phone service? Because by using these services, we're causing others to work on our behalf on the Sabbath day. Neither thy manservant nor thy maidservant. The arguments and explanations are seemingly endless. The sad fact is that this commandment can be easily kept and held in reverence, perfectly and completely, by anyone wishing to simply honor God's will over their own. There's no need to wonder if you're breaking the commandment, if you're getting your information from the Scriptures and living in such a way as to not grieve the Holy Spirit or violate your conscience. The Holy Spirit will guide you. He'll not allow you to break God's commandments, even in ignorance. No one is better equipped to keep God's commandments better than the New Testament believer. There's no need to create rules and set up boundaries, write down lists of acceptable and unacceptable behavior. You have within you the author of the commandment, promising to lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll not let you violate the Scriptures. He'll not let you sin against God. But you must obey him. I recently met someone who felt there was a conflict with the Sabbath when they worked in a homeless shelter feeding the indigent. They spoke of all the work they had to do, cooking and cleaning and washing up, and wondered why God would hold them accountable for breaking his commandment. I submit that they were letting the commandments of men take the place of the commandment of God. No commandment forbids doing good on Sabbath. Contrarily, it's a wonderful day for it. A wonderful day indeed. Then Jesus said unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or destroy it?
That's all for this time. You've been listening to Don C. Harris at Think Red Ink Ministries. Do you have questions or comments? We'd like to hear from you. Send an email to don@thinkredink.com. Join us again for the next episode of The Questions of Jesus.